Yo, what's up, guys? Ash Cash, the financial motivator, and you are now tuned in to the Blowing Bubbles podcast. Guess what, y'all? Stay popping. Let's go.
Good evening. What's up? What's poppin'? Hello. Hello. The three of us are here. Let me see. My sister is just joining. We're going to give everybody a minute or so to get on. I will ask that you all share this to your social media pages. Hello, Rosh Hashanah.
Hello. Hello. I'm sorry. Coming.
Yes, so if you have Facebook or if you're on YouTube, please share this so that your audiences will also see this episode. And we will get started in a hot second. Share. My people on Facebook, make sure you guys give me a share. Thank you. Yes, we want a good audience. We have good guests today. I think we all have some partial tonight.
I'm really trying to set this up to go live.
So you don't have to go live. You just have to share. My live.
Your live, right.
Correct. My page is public. If you just go to my page, Karana Hosey, and it's there. Or the Blowing Bubbles podcast and share that. Good evening, Cheryl Martin. That's my mom. All right.
Rashana
meets Sam.
Hi, Rashana. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic this evening.
Awesome.
Shana, if you could share this on your Facebook, you got YouTube, tune in, whatever, wherever you at, please share it. We are going to get started. I wanted to give my brother Stan Bryant the opportunity to come on here and showcase who he is, what he has going, because this brother has phenomenal stuff going on, and we do not want anybody to miss out. We got a great event coming this weekend, so I just took the opportunity. I know he wasn't on the flyer, so if anybody is confused, we didn't have time. We just locked this in today, and I said, let's go for it.
So, you know, when people have something to say, they need to be on. They need to be showcased.
Yes, you better know. Good.
I'm ready to hear. Look, stay in the man. Let's go. I'm ready to hear what he has to say today.
Thank you all for having me. This is tremendous. It's like all of a sudden all of this happened. So I'm trying to forgive my lack of technical savvy or whatever. I thank you so much, Karana, for inviting us on this evening.
Oh, we got an echo. Somebody has an echo. Is there somebody's phone is on Facebook or something?
Let's
see.
You
might have to turn the volume down on your phone.
Okay, let me get all the way out of that because I was working with. Okay, it's probably okay. There we go. Can you still hear it?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. Whiskey. Let's go.
Okay. Well, Karana, thank you so much for inviting me on this evening. I'm Stan Bryant, founder and the CEO of Unity Jazz Foundation Incorporated.
Yes.
We are a 501c3 nonprofit that was created to keep the legacy of this great music which is our music, to keep it alive by empowering youth. So we host large, medium, small jazz events all over metropolitan Atlanta. But right now we're staged at Emory Performing Arts Studio with a dynamic concert coming up actually this Sunday, September 24th. But we've been doing this for approximately 8.5, almost 9 years.
Nice.
And we raise funds for our elementary, middle, and high school and going into college. Our students, we raise funds for their scholarships, endowments. We buy instruments. We do the master classes, workshops, and all of this encompasses keeping the legacy of jazz music relevant through the young people. So we try to introduce this great music to young people, and believe it or not, it is really catching on with the young people.
That's amazing. And so here at the Blowing Bubbles podcast, in case you didn't know, my mission is helping mothers survive motherhood through sisterhood while finding balance and leaving legacy, building legacy, excuse me. So one thing that stands out to me is that you are helping the children. You are giving them something that's positive, it's powerful. Music is such a healer. One
right.
of the things that the concept of Blowing Bubbles is all about hoping in something, finding that something that soothes your soul. And music is
right.
one of those things that does it for almost everybody. Music is a universal language, so no matter where you are, music can soothe your soul. I love it. Love it. Love it. Now,
absolutely.
Do you all
that's right.
instrumentation?
Can you repeat that, Karan?
Do you teach instrumentation and musicianship in your program?
Actually, what we are creating right now, we have gotten the blessings from the executive director of the Boys and Girls Clubs. Mr. John Reed has given us his blessings to create a curriculum for after school for the Boys and Girls Club. So we are in the process of creating a for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Metropolitan Atlanta. And prayerfully, this model will be a catalyst for the entire Boys and Girls Clubs. I have a team behind me right now that they have the skill set to help me get this into fruition. So we have the music educators, the marketing team, different aspects of the curriculum to create a palette for after school music education through the Boys and Girls Clubs. So that's our next big step that we're working on right now. We're right in the middle of our, the concert season where we host these huge jazz concerts, like the one that's taking place on Sunday. And we invite the young people to participate, to come in and participate on that program with the professional jazz performers. This Sunday, we are Houston, if I may go into that segment.
Please do.
We're hosting the phenomenal jazz pianist, Doug Karn. I don't know if you all remember Doug, but definitely Jean, his ex-wife, she's through the stratosphere now. Even though they are both kind of up in age, they are still very active on the touring scene. So we have Doug Karn, the Doug Karn Quintet, happening on this Sunday at the Emory Performing Arts Studio, which is on the campus of Emory University. So that'll take place at 4 p.m. This Sunday, September 24th. And he'll have four phenomenal artists. Three of them are being flown in from New York, and the other two are our local performers, our local artists right here in Atlanta. And they will be joining together to create a quintet with Doug Carr. That's happening this Sunday.
Wow, that is awesome. How can people get tickets for that event?
That is an event. Well, let me start. The Performing Arts Studio, I don't know if you've ever been there.
It's an absolute.
You haven't? Okay, it's an absolute amazing venue, especially for a jazz performance. It's in the black box format, if you know what that is, where the whole room is blacked out with a nice, beautiful stage. But it's a 200 seat concert hall, and the ticket portal is unityjazz.org, which is also our website. So you may go to unityjazz.org, or the other ticket portal is unityjazz-dougcarn.eventbrite.com to get the tickets. I would really recommend that you get the pre-sale tickets, because it is kind of chaos, you know, on the day of the show to come in, you know, and pay at the door. And that's kind of like, you know, excuse the expression, old school. But we do pre-sales, you know, to try to alleviate all of the chaos at the beginning of the show. So I would recommend going out to those websites, unityjazz.org and the other ticket portal. We are all set up with Zelle and Cash App.
Okay.
We have gotten requests for Zelle and Cash App. So Zelle would be 770-899-1991. And our Cash App account is $UnityJazz.
Let me say that. Say the Zelle number again, please.
Yeah, the Zelle account is 770-899-1991. And, you know, both of those are set up now, because we got so many requests for the Zelle and the Cash App, when normally we send you directly to the website to go to the ticket portal. So okay. we're just set up in all ways, you know, to accommodate ticket purchases. And we're also available on all social media platforms, including LinkedIn. So that's it, basically.
Nice. I have the unityjazz.org is scrolling across the bottom on Facebook. I put the Zelle payment phone number in there. For ease of operation, I recommend just going to unityjazz.org and pre-purchasing your ticket. That is the greatest method.
Get these
tickets. We want to fill this place up. 200 seats is not even a lot. I better not.
It's not a lot.
I am going to be there. I'm challenging you all my bubbleheads. Where y'all at? I want to see all of you there. Let's fill this place up.
Yes. And the children from the Boys and Girls Club will be in the concert, in the building, at the concert.
Beautiful.
And at times we invite the Dukes Foundations, which is another fantastic organization that partners with us, that have his group, you know, to be there. So I believe they're gonna be in the house also. So the young people are so involved in this also. It's not just, we have the gamut from 16-year-olds all the way up to our 88, 92-year-old mothers in the concert hall listening to jazz music. So is
that's a beautiful bridge to one generation to another. I love it.
Absolutely. And it's such an energetic atmosphere in there also.
I'm sure. Now, how can a child register or join to participate in the Unity Jazz program?
Well, that's part of the curriculum that we are putting together. It will have
coming.
Soon. It's coming soon.
All right. And do you have volunteer opportunities?
Yes, we have volunteer opportunities. They can go to that website, unityjazz.org. We have a link for volunteers. If you are have the capability of grant writing, email savvy,
text. Look, my sister.
Me. Did I hit your?
Me.
Did
I hit your? I do. I have that expertise. That's me.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
So I'm going to need you to go to unityjazz.org and click that volunteer button.
Absolutely.
And help my brother out.
Yes.
See how things work.
we have so many opportunities at Unity Jazz because it's expansive and it can go in so many different directions for what we're doing. And we just really invite as many as possible to come and help us with our mission of keeping this wonderful music alive by empowering youth. And we are reaching all metropolitan Atlanta schools and mainly our inner city or urban.
The underserved.
Uh-oh. He froze. Froze a little bit. It was getting too good.
Okay. There you go.
It was getting too good. It just had to freeze you for a minute.
You said you served the inner city. Okay. I said underserved.
Yeah. Right. So that's basically it for Unity Jazz Foundation. We are growing by leaps and bounds, and our partner radio stations are boosting us. You're here to hear us. They've been doing it all week. There's a great interview tomorrow and Saturday with Doug Karn and WCLK 91.9, Miss Reva Blue on Midday Jazz show at 12 noon. That's tomorrow. Reva Blue will be interviewing the great Doug Karn on her radio program. And then on Saturday morning, LaBelle Hooks at WRFG 89.3 FM. LaBelle Hooks will also be interviewing Mr. Doug Karn for Unity Jazz Foundation.
Wonderful.
So those two things are happening this week, and they've been announcing them, the program on the radio all week. So the word is getting out.
Yes. And we intend to continue doing our part to spread the word about Unity Jazz, everything that you have going. Who do you have coming up next? When's your next event?
Well, believe it or not, we're taking a break because we've been at it for since January. We have had some phenomenal shows, beginning with the great Scotty Barnhart, who is the music director for the Count Basie Orchestra. He was here in January with a quintet at the Emory Performing Arts Studio. All of these shows are at the Emory Performing Arts Studio. Then we had Miss Tony Bird, the singer Tony Bird, who is a dynamic vocalist locally here, but she's known all over, with a 17-piece orchestra that was backing her. She did a tribute, or she does a tribute to Miss Natalie Cole. So that was just absolutely amazing.
You would have loved it.
And I love Tony Bird's production so much that we are working on giving it like a multi-city tour for that production. So we're working on that also. Then it was Milkshake. I don't know if you know Milkshake. Milkshake, the trumpet player, the icon, local icon here, the trumpet player. He was on with his beautiful wife, Christine, and Miss Cam Showers, the vocalist. That was just last month. And then we'll have Doug this month. And then we'll roll it over to December. Our next one after this one is our high school Jazzy Christmas, where we'll have several of the high school bands coming together on stage to present a Christmas concert.
Make sure you check out Jonesboro High School, by the way. That's a shameless plug. That's my daughter's band. So make sure you check them out, because they're going to be, you know, in New York next year for the Macy's Day Parade. So it's one of the hottest bands, by the way.
Class of such and such and such. That's my alma mater.
Just throwing that out there. Just, you know, that's my thing.
Okay. That's
you
my
know.
Alma
you know, this is motherhood. You know, I'm just going to throw my daughter out there, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. Want the contact,
yes, please do. Please do.
You all are gonna link anyway. You know, we got millions to get. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, I graduated from Jonesboro in 1970. Oh, cool. So. Yeah, that was
19 so and so. I love it.
Yeah, that's my hometown. The class of 1975, to be exact.
Nice.
Okay. Yes, I graduated from Jonesboro. Yes, that's my alma mater. Nice. And nice. The Cardinals.
See how things work out. Things work out perfectly.
The red and the black.
Yes.
Yeah, I was in the band at Jonesboro all throughout, you know, the whole course. And
I love
Jonesboro, and of course that's my hometown. That's where all my peeps are. And yeah, we gotta do this. We gotta hook up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. If
it's okay, I can text each other the numbers. I can.
Yes. I'll make it happen. That is fine.
Okay. I'll make it happen. Fantastic.
I love it. I love, and I want to make sure that we all keep in contact. Shauna, you know, we linked, but.
Right.
I love to tell the success stories down the line. And I have only been doing this podcast for a couple months. And I'm telling you, I have some amazing, positive, and powerful success stories that have already come out of this show. And this is what it's about, you know, just being that resource. I have always prided myself on connecting the dots.
Yes.
And I love to just see things happen. This is nothing new for me. It's like just being obedient to what I'm called to do. And
right.
Things fall in place. I don't have to do anything extra. It's just, I'm out here blowing up. That's it.
Isn't it amazing?
I love being a vessel. Being a vessel is what I would say. It's like, I feel like you say you connect the dots. I say I'm a bridge. So it works. Yeah. You know, I stay connected for a reason, because you never know what somebody else will need that you have contact with.
Listen,
so.
My friend Kenny connected me to Stan. Kenny, I love him to pieces. He would not rest. He said, "Did you call Stan yet? Did you call Stan?"
Yeah, he's a great guy. My
I'm
former,
just gonna give him your number. I'm like, please, because I get so busy and I'll forget. Call me by any means. Right. Somebody, my information is public. I'm a realtor, so all of my information is public. I don't hide.
Right.
That's my number on.
But I get it. I understand. You're busy. We're both busy. But this moment, since we're all connecting, is just the way that it's supposed to.
Absolutely. And I want to take some time to share, to holler at our people. Facebook comments are active. Cheryl Martin, Tanisha Bulla, Valencia Pierce, Victoria Poole, thank you all. Thank you all.
Hey, B.
All right.
So I want to make sure we don't neglect. And wait a minute, I got some activity on Facebook. It's like, okay, Mr. Blackie, the regular podcast. So I'm getting, I'm hearing that we got some major feedback or reverb on the thing. It's still some echo going on.
Oh, okay. Mine? Let me check my.
Is it mine? And still, are we?
I don't have anything on.
So
the audience is hearing it. The audience is hearing it. Can I get an update? Am I sounding better? 1, 2. Microphone check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Shalana Dunlap. The reverb is fixed now. It was only on KJ mic. Okay, so I did adjust. Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate my audience so much. They know I'm not that tech savvy. So I need to
have my people on. Yes. I share it. My people on.
Regular podcast. Listen, those folks over there, they got some deep episodes. Check out SoundCloud. Here, and while I'm thinking about it, I want to make sure I give a good shout out to J. Marie Bright on Formal Wear. That is a connect. I have businesses that I'm affiliated with. I have the Ragers Anonymous. I love this business. When you got some stress going on and you want to do a corporate thing, it's something different, Ragers Anonymous will pull up with a whole trailer and let you smash up some stuff. They have computers, they have dishes, they have cabinets, whatever. You need to smash up, the divorce party. Let's put some pictures of Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so and smash up some pictures. Get them out. BigRagers.com. I love that business. I can't wait. One day you're going to see a video of me smashing some stuff. I don't know what
I'm going to do. You're going to a rage room. You're going to a rage room.
It's the most.
Look, let me find out. Let me find out. She has a rage somewhere.
Oh, man.
I don't all the time, y'all. I promise you. I get tired, too.
Oh, man. I need that one. Please send that to me.
Yes, I was in BigRagers.com. They'll pull up. They'll do gender reveals. You can smash the thing, and some pink or some blue will pop out. There's all kind of different things you can do. Oh, wow. I love that.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'll think of another business or two that I'm affiliated with going down the line. I love to try to circulate our money in our community. Right. I want to make sure that my people know my people.
Right.
So on Blowing Bubbles Podcast, my 5 core passions are love, business, service, music, and food. And I'm going to always intertwine one or more of those 5 things into the episode. So I am definitely going to stop talking as much. I feel like I am rambling. I want to get to my sister, Rashana, and I do want to, Stan, you are more than welcome to stick around if you want. If you don't want to, I will not be bothered, but we're going to have some mommy talk.
Yes, I would love to. I have another appointment. Did you hear the phone ringing? it's almost like, I want to hear everything, but I just got a call.
This is recorded. You can go to my YouTube channel. And yes, it's Blowing Bubbles Podcast. Look for the lady with the orange, yellow, and green background. She's a black lady with an afro blowing bubbles.
Cool.
All yes, right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so very much. I will see you Sunday.
Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you so much. And Rashana, we will be in touch, okay?
Most definitely.
Yes, we have to. And I have enjoyed this so much. This is a very beautiful and viable platform that you have. Thank you so much for inviting us. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Yes, you will see me Sunday.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Stan. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Rashana.
Corona. They say the YouTube link is unavailable. The YouTube link is unavailable on Facebook. The one, because I shared your
post. You can watch it on Facebook Live or go to the Blowing Bubbles Podcast. Just
yeah, I sent that to them.
On YouTube.
There you go. I was like, he's having some difficulties. Corona, what? How you?
Girl, I am good. I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. It's good. Look, I'm on your platform. I'm excited. Yes. Finally get to be on your platform. We've been talking about it for a long time.
We have. So what? Hey, Mark Hampton, what's up, baby? So I want to officially introduce you. Oh my goodness, it has been a while. My sister girl, Rashana Richter. She is, first of all, let me start with this credential. International number one best selling author. International number one best-selling author. She is a mommy to 15-year-old Kaden, graduate of Savannah State University, bachelor in English language and literature. Man, you just like to read, apparently. Good Lord.
Perhaps a little bit. It's a story behind that. It's a story behind it, but.
Okay, you got a few, you know, social community activities. I see you are president of your chapter of Beta Psi chapter
of Sigma Beta Psi.
I'm reading this, and it looked like Beta Psi, Beta Psi, Sigma. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's Beta Psi chapter of Sigma Beta Psi.
Okay, no wonder I was seeing a bunch of different betas. Okay. AMJ. And what's up, my sister? Yes. Member of the Dynamic Delta chapter of the Order of the Eastern Star. Love it, love it, love it. You got a whole bunch of credentials. Listen, I'm going to encourage you all, and you are, wait a minute, National Beauty pageant queen as well. Woo! Listen, here's what I'm going to encourage you all to do, aside from follow my sister. This here book, let me see if I can get it. I got the book.
She read it. I did.
Broken Crayon Still Color. Woo! Look, I got you. You forgot? You did all that.
I forget.
This year I have been, just because of the podcast, and I've been talking about putting people on the podcast, man, I have been buying a bajillion books. Lord have mercy, I need a bigger library. But yet, Broken Crayon Still Color. That title alone.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, let's get into it. I want to start with, where did your inspiration for that project come from?
The funny thing with that project, it didn't start with knowing that I was going to have a story. Because when it was presented to me, I'm a type of person, everything happens to me in threes. So when the first one came out, I kept saying, okay, I don't really have trauma. I was like, what is trauma in my life? And, you know, I usually had a great life, and throughout the times of just reading the stories from the first one, I was like, these are inspirational. I couldn't put the book down. And so when Stacey Bryant brought it to me again, Coach Stacey Bryant brought it to me again, she was like, do you want to write? I was like, I don't have anything to say. And then she brought it to me again. I went through ICU Academy and became a life coach. So I am a certified life coach, branding life coach, by the way. Just have to throw that out there. But through the class, she asked me again. I was like, I don't know. So then I also, another time I went through, I went to her conference and it spoke to me. And so I was like, okay, I'll write. And they always say, just get into something and then it may come to you. So I decided to do that. When I tell you, I was writing a whole different story when one day I just sat down because I was supposed to be going somewhere. And everything just kept happening. I couldn't go. And I just sat in my house. I was just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I just started crying. I didn't know where it was coming from. I just, and the way that Stacy would always say is, you had a breakthrough. So I was writing a whole, I had a paragraph prior to writing this story. And everything just started flushing back of memories of this one thing that I have, it took me so long to forgive myself for, that I was just like, or something that, you know, you see on TV, but you would always say, that can never happen to me. How could this happen to me? I would never think like that. But you always say you can never say never until you are in that particular, you know, and so it's like, it just kept flowing for me. And to really put that on paper, it was, yeah, it was almost therapeutic for me, because I only told maybe three people in my life prior to writing this story. And after I wrote it, it was, I can't turn it back now, but I felt like people feel like they're alone in situations.
Right.
And so that's really what my inspiration was. I don't want people to feel like they're alone, because trauma is in different aspects. Trauma is not just from what, happens to you, it's what comes of you. And so that's really what happened for me. I wanted to make sure that I was a voice for the voiceless or for women that go through postpartum. And it's real. It's real. It's the most realest thing that I've ever experienced. And I would never change being a mother. I love my daughter. She's the only thing in my life, without a shadow of a doubt, that I can say I did right. Mm-hmm. So for me to go through that, it almost was an oxymoron for me to say, you're going to do this, you thought of this, but your child is your most precious gem of your life. It happens. It is a mental trauma. It is a mental situation that you can't turn back. Right. And that you are trying to overcome, but it has nothing to do with how you actually feel about what you're going through. It has nothing to do with that. And that's where I was sitting. So writing it actually helped me help others. And, you know, we didn't always set out to become international bestselling authors, but it was, when that happened, it was like, okay, now I can speak to the world. And so really
clear, this is an anthology series, and you are one of the contributing writers in this series.
Correct.
Okay. And so, your particular story is centered around postpartum depression?
Correct.
Okay. And since the publication of this, how has that changed your life with regard to that particular condition?
I'm able to really speak about, I wasn't really, before I wrote the story, I wasn't able to speak on really how women deal with postpartum, but I have been able to, not only through my being a life coach, I can actually speak life into other women that go through it. Whereas I wasn't that person to really speak on it, because I didn't really understand it fully at the time. So for me, it became therapeutic. It became a lesson to other women that you're not alone, that you're able to go through this and still love whoever you are, love your child no matter what. And that is really what I need people to understand. I love my daughter. I love my child. That is my life. But things happen.
One of the most common things that I've heard from women who have dealt with that is they're often second guessing themselves, you know, and they have to keep restating, I love my baby. I love my baby. Because mm-hmm. of the thoughts that are swirling in their mind. And it's not that mm-hmm. you don't love your child, but there's something in there that's broken, something that
right.
a person can't quite figure out. Why am I sad? Why am I not wanting to hold my baby? Why am I mm-hmm. not able to get up to cook? Why am I not, I don't even feel like
why
brushing my own.
I feel like life is what it is. Yeah. It's yeah. like it's.
There's an Instagram video. I don't know if it's Instagram or if it's TikTok, but I saw a video recently on Instagram this young lady, and I tried to get to her, but it was like remixed so many times I couldn't find the original. This young lady is on there crying her heart out, talking about, this is the worst thing I've ever done. I wish I would have known. Nobody ever told me I have bipolar disorder, and nobody ever told me that I shouldn't have a baby. That's the worst thing I ever did. I should have never had kids. I don't want no baby. I love my baby, but I don't want to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And my heart was going out to not only her, but to that child. Mm-hmm. Because here's a baby. She said, and she admitted in this video, that she did not have a partner. She was just linking up with somebody, and she got pregnant, and she knew what it was, and she chose to have that baby. And now mm-hmm. she's in it alone. Well, you hear a lot of men complain about women doing that because they feel like they gave up or they lost the power of their choice, when in reality, they surrendered that power of choice when they slept with that woman raw. So there's that. But this woman is really crying out. And I don't know that she has the services and the resources and the community surrounding her to get the help she needs. I hope
a lot of times you don't. But a lot of times you don't.
A lot of people don't put it on Instagram too. They don't make a public cry. And sometimes we have situations that end tragically because they just end up snapping. So how long do you recall how long you dealt with the situation before you feel like it got better?
For me, it was only probably for about 6 months of okay. when Cadus was born. That I was fully, I felt like I was fully at the point where I could handle everything and I was okay. So I was, you know, I was with her father. So, and it has nothing to do, you know, even with him, but we were young, you know. It was, I think I'd never been around children. Or babies, I would say. Never been around babies at the time. So, you know, I feel like my child, you know, saved my life because it sat me down, but I also still was young. I still, you know, I was still in the club. I was still doing my thing, you know? But it was a thing that I, you know, all of that happened so fast. Like, I almost went into, like, this microwave family that I wasn't ready for, you know? And so even when Cadus remembers certain things, I would always say, we were young, you know? That was a thing. Like, my mom was... I was 20. I had just gotten out into my 20s. And so I didn't know anything how to be a mother. That was just not a thing. So, you know, 3 months she would cry all the time. That was not a thing for me. I didn't understand why she's crying, and I felt alone. And I felt like there was no, you know, my mother and I moved back home with my mom. And it was just bad. To me, that part of my life was bad. It was dark. I felt alone. I felt like I didn't have anybody.
Even though you were in your mother's home, you felt alone.
Yeah, it was wow. It was bad. So, but it got to the point where I found out my mother was like, you know how you always say, well, you chose to have this child, like you're going to have to learn the process of motherhood, and you're going to have to learn. So once I got the hang of it, okay, let me watch her. I get her. You know, so it was like, you need to learn on your own. You got to go through things to understand really how hard or really appreciate what you have, you know? So that's where I was in motherhood for me. So it was a good 3 months.
For you? What made you shift? What brought on the shift where you feel like you started to embrace motherhood?
She was 6 months. I had just gotten a job, and I would never forget that job. And I was able to really... because after I moved home, I wasn't working. So I just was at home and just depressed. So I got a job. I started working and got somebody to watch my child. And she was not crying at all, really sleeping through the night. And we were connecting a little bit better. So it was, you know, even with the breastfeeding, she was latching. It was different. Almost at the, you know, the first 3 months, it was latching. She was latching. She was doing things. She was eating. It was almost like I felt like I was feeling it as a mom. You know, she wasn't, we weren't attached. So after 6 months, everything was kind of aligning. She was happy. She was a happy baby. That's how I always say. I always look at her like her pictures were, she was like the happiest baby I knew seeing around. So it was that. It was her smile. Seeing her smile all the time and looking at me like, okay, this is, you know, this is my person.
She was saying, mommy, it's going to be okay.
You know, so when she would smile, it was like everything was right for me. She started to smile. She stopped crying. So that was my turning point. The smile, the connection, and her doing, being, you know, I felt like I was doing okay. It wasn't the best, but I always say I'm not the best mother, but I am the only mother she has, and I'm gonna do the best that I can with what I have. So that was always my model through those years. You know, it was, and she always say, yeah, it she didn't know that she didn't have the finer things or whatever. I made it work. I made it shake. She never felt anything. So that's really those turning point for me. When she'll look at me like nothing's wrong. And
that's beautiful. And oftentimes we're so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. As mothers, we have this projection of perfection. Mm. And we need to ditch that. We are so very hard on ourselves.
We gotta give ourselves grace.
We go that grace. A lot of them go into this state of anxiety and frustration because we're trying so hard to give our kids everything that we feel like we didn't have. And then we just end up stressing ourselves out. But that projection of perfection is a chronic disorder, in my opinion. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm standing on that. We gotta, and it's not just mothers that do it. A lot of people do it. Once I realized that I was doing that, it was paralyzing to me. I had analysis paralysis. I've been trying to launch a podcast since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kept waiting for everything to be right. And then it was like, I belong to this entrepreneur group and they was like, do it ugly, do it scared, just do it.
Just do it.
Okay. And so here I am, and I'm doing it. I'm doing every week. Listen, my loyal followers, I love y'all so much. Every week I have a problem with the sound. And the problem is because I unplugged this mixer thing so I can use my laptop. And I mean, every week I got to do the settings over again. So
it happens. You're gonna get better. It's gonna be awesome.
I would have waited to get everything right. I mean, I still want these cameras. I want the 4K cameras all over the place so I can do multiple angles. I wanted to, man, if I had waited, I would still be sitting there trying to get started. So I'm so excited. I've had so much amazing content that I created. I'm making relationships and people's lives are being changed. So I'm so glad that I am able to do what I'm doing, and this is going to be so much bigger than, it's going to blow up, pun intended.
So, and it is.
It really is. It really is. I'm not only am I speaking it and manifesting it, but I'm doing the work. So I am excited. Now, how is your daughter now? You said she's in the band. What instrument does she play?
She plays the cymbals. She started not to like it because she wanted to dance. So she initially tried out for the dance, but she didn't make the dance team. But she's gonna try it again. So we're gonna, you know, definitely knock on wood for that. But she's been a dancer all her life. So, you know, the dancing dolls, they're called the dancing dolls on her team as well. So she really wants to dance. But she's actually getting the hang of cymbals. And I told her, I said, you know what? You on the drum line. I was like, you need to watch the drum line. Listen, you are still on the drum line. Doing her thing. So
the percussion section.
Yes. But she loves music. So music has been a thing for us since she was little. That's the only thing I could to use when she would cry and everything, when she was colicky, you know, all the time. So music was fed out. So got us through those months and those years when she was younger. So yeah, so she plays the cymbals in Jonesboro High School band. And I'm very proud of her. So she's A and B student. She's been like A and B and straight A student since she was in kindergarten, you know. teaching the class. As I say, teaching the class in pre-K. So
we're going to connect you with Stan, and once they come to Jonesboro, she's going to get whatever instruments you want.
That'll be a great, because if they use bands, their team is actually going to be in Macy's Day Parade. They were the only Georgia team, Georgia high school team that got chosen. So she's going to be in the Macy's Day Parade. I'm excited because I'm going. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see her on the strip in New York. I'm excited to see this happen for her.
Wonderful.
And love it because, you know, she loves her high school. So I'm really happy that she's flourishing and doing her thing and like she always does.
That's awesome.
I'm her biggest fan.
Take me through the middle stages of going from having postpartum depression and finally making that connection with your baby where things start to smooth out to what were those middle years like raising Hayden?
Being a single mother wasn't easy. Definitely because, you know, like you say, you know, not having a partner, not having somebody to help you through those years. But she was my ride or die. She was, you know, everywhere I went, she was my person. I was always excited waiting until she got to this age that, you know, when she's 15, you know, I was like, okay, that's my little rider, you know. But, you know, through the middle years, it was still, we did dance. We were very active. I was that mom. I was, you know, what they quote unquote, you know, soccer mom. I was a dance mom. My life revolved around my kid and her life revolved around me. She was my person. So for me, it was just that. We were peas in a pod. That was my everything. Through the middle years, you know, she would still be active. So I always think that's, you know, little me. That was my mini me. You were just just amazing from, you know, struggling through, oh my God, what have I done? I brought her in this world of, you know, for me, it was abyss. It was dark. It was all that. That's what I saw. And for me to feel like I gave her the service because I brought her into this. And I felt like I made a huge mistake that I brought her into this world of this, of what I made. You know, I blame myself for so much, so long. And I had to start forgiving myself for thoughts of that because I had this thing, I was never going to give her up. You know, I was never going to. And then, you know, I'm very spiritual. So I had a connection with her and knew what she would look like. You know, I had dreams about this when I was pregnant with her. So to go from there to having this feeling like a regret to now I love like everything flourishing and how she is. And I watch her and I look at her and I was like, wow, you know, I made this, you know, I made this vessel of beautiful, just a special person. Her personality is big. Her heart is big. So for me to go from not having this world of I can't be here, you know, to, wow, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad this decision happened. It's the most turnaround amazing moments to watch her and be proud.
Be wonderful. Proud. Now, what advice can you give someone who's dealing with postpartum depression, and what resources might you direct them to?
Talk to somebody. If you feel like, you know, people don't understand, you know, make sure you find somebody to talk to. Because I didn't think that I had anybody to talk to. But it's more prominent now, you know, a lot of people go through it. So it's different stages of postpartum as well. Sometimes they don't have as mine. I feel like I had the deepest thought of depression, but sometimes you're just feeling alone that you need friends.
What made you feel like you had the deepest form of
Because I isolated myself. So to that point where I felt like I was the only person in my group that had a child. I felt like nobody wanted to be around me. So I just decided to just isolate myself. So I constantly put myself in a box of alone. And once you get alone and you get in your head, you don't have any outs. So all
Did
I had
was being suicidal.
Yeah. 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 Wow. It was dark. Yeah. I had multiple thoughts about it. So it was, yeah. I was there to the point of almost, you know, premeditation. So it was bad for me. But other people may not experience that. They may just feel the depression, but it still gets you to a point where you feel like you don't have an out. So like you said, you have to give yourself grace. You're doing a great thing. You are doing awesome. You are awesome mother. No matter how that looks like to others, you are doing what you can do for what you have. Mm-hmm. So once you understand that you, whatever you are doing, whatever you have, I don't care. Even mothers who have like five, they're entrepreneurs and they have a 9-to-5, but they have 3 kids and they do it on their own. And they're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's like, I'm overwhelmed. Stop. Pause, give yourself grace, because you're doing it. You're doing it for them. You're doing it for you to be better for them. So my advice is always to give yourself grace. Stop, pause, look around. You're doing great. You're an awesome mother. You're an awesome mother.
Yeah, I encourage mothers a lot and say, listen, when I had my 4th child, the first one was 5 years old. I promise you, you will survive.
Right.
If I don't share anything else with you, I promise you, you will survive. You just have to take a deep breath and ditch that anxiety, man, because that anxiety will quickly creep up into depression.
And it will. And you won't know what to do. You'll be overwhelmed.
You can get out of it.
Right.
Man.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's like there were so many things that if we let ourselves give in to the what ifs and the oh my God, it's going to go downhill. But if you just be like, okay, this is what I have to do. This is what it is. Like, there was no internet when I had children at all. I had my first child.
We still had dial-up.
No, there was no internet. No, the internet had not.
It was dial-up for me. It was what they call a Flintstone.
Google something. There was nothing to look up. We still had libraries with physical encyclopedias. If you want to know something, girl, you go to the library. Buy a book. There was no internet. You know, so a lot of times people, it's in our head, and then we let that, and then something chemical happens. Which I'm not a doctor nor a psychologist. Yeah, there's something chemical that happens. And then our psyche kicks in telling us, oh snap, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. Humans have
like you said, it was a chemical imbalance. It's like that switch. The switch that clicks on in your brain and it's like, and it says, there's a problem. There's a problem. There's a problem.
When in reality, you can. You will be fine. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love, love, love hearing that, you know, you all are fine and that the relationship is good and solid. Now, does she have a relationship with her father?
So she lives with her father now because it was a thing. That was the most hardest thing that I had to do as a mom, to almost not have her in my home because he wasn't in her life growing up. But they got to a point where she wanted that relationship. And I was like, you're going to have it. You're going to have to make it happen. Because what I wasn't going to be was, because I always say I'm not a baby mom. I'm the mother of this child. So I told him I didn't want it to look like a bitter, you know, crazy woman or whatever. So I didn't want that to be the case. That was not what I wanted. So for me, I told her she had to make that decision. So one summer I said, you're going to, you know, spend time with him. And every other summer it got better over time. So, you know, through COVID, you know, it didn't matter where she went, where she lived because they were virtual. So we tried it out. And because he was like, I want to have a relationship with her. I want to. So, you know, we always talk about, you know, absent fathers at the time that we do this a lot, right? So when they stop, when we stop doing this and we actually listen to them, and when they come back, stop doing that. So I didn't want to be that woman. I didn't want to be that mother where now the father is coming back and I'm still doing this. He's not here. Why are you not here? You missing these years. And now he's trying. And if I, that's what started to stop him from having that relationship in the end. So I said, okay, you know, it, let's go. And then when COVID went away and they went back into school, he was like, do you want to continue? I said, it's got to be her decision. If she wants to stay, then that's going to be her decision. It won't be mine. You know, and so many people was like, why would you do that? He hasn't been there. I said, stop. I'm not going to be that mother. I'm not going to be that woman. And this was her decision. It wasn't my decision. And I put it, she's old enough to choose. She was 12.
So making that choice and taking that stance, a lot of people don't even take the time to think about what might be best for the child. We get so emotional and we get, you know, we just get in our heads about whatever was, whatever we thought should be and all that. And it's like, man, it's not about you. It's about the child. I do a segment on here sometimes called the co-parent conversation, where I want to foster healthy and restorative communication with parents who might have a void in their communicating. Right. I have never, there's not a soul that can say I ever kept them from their child.
Right. That's what I said. No matter it's going to be you, not me.
I don't believe in it. I don't care. So I commend you for that. And I want to salute him for, you know, stepping up and being who he should have been, even if he took a time out.
Right. Okay. You know, it doesn't matter when, as long as he's here now.
Coming back around. Good job, right, brother.
And these are the years that I need him to be in our life. You know, her younger years is like she, you know, was developing her life. Now she's developed and she's starting to, you know, be a young woman. So I need a strong man in her life to treat a woman and who is her father to be there. Right. And so now she would know what a man's supposed to, how a man is supposed to be in her life. So that, because she has strong male figures, my father, you know, God rest his soul, my uncle, God rest his soul. Like, she had male figures, but it's nothing like a girl's father, you know, her dad, you know, it's nothing like it. And I was not going to rip her from that opportunity. I had the best father, in my opinion, ever. So I never would do that to my child. You know, he stepped away. He was away for a while. But like I said, we were young, you know, and he was still young boy too. So it was, and we've known each other since I was 12 and he was 13. So I've known him my whole life. So
it was. Does he have any other children?
He does. Yes. Okay. But Cadence is his oldest.
Okay.
But you know, and he claims other children too. But he, Cadence is his oldest child.
Are they in the home with her in them? No. Are they all living together? Okay.
Mm-mm. It's just him and her in the home. So, but she, you know, she now has that relationship with him. And it's, you know, of course, it's going to be the same trials and tribulations. But, you know, I see her. I have a relationship with her. That was like me. Her being in his home doesn't change that I'm still her parent. I'm still her mother. I'm still her guardian. That doesn't change. It just, her location changed. Where she resides changed. And she's flourishing. So I would never change this for the world. And so it just, you know, I'm not going to be selfish. Yes, I would love her in a home with me, of course. But she's still my child. I'm going to still go see her. You know, if she was my home, in my home, all rules still apply. So she know. But yeah, so that doesn't change being a mother. Wherever your child is, you are still a mom. So, no, it didn't matter what home she's in. She could have been in my mom's home. I'm still her mother.
How about that?
So it didn't matter to me. So that was a big thing for me. You know, my mother was like, why are you going to do that? He ain't been here. I said, stop doing that. Don't do that. You know, like, you don't need to do that to men who you, so men fight to be with their children. I wasn't going to be like that. I wanted her to have that relationship. Although I was numb to everything. Don't get me wrong. I was that woman too. I'm numb to this. I'm like, he ain't here. I could do this on my own. But in reality, a girl needs her father and her mother. A boy needs her father and her mother too. So a child needs their parents
both parents.
What, no matter where they are, this child, any child needs both of their parents. Yeah. So it needs to be a healthy relationship between the two. So, like, I commend you for having that co-parenting, because not many people know how to co-parent. And the one thing we could fight and argue all the time, but the one thing we do come into a collective is about that little girl. That's very much, we are very collective, and we're strong unit when it comes down to her.
That's good. Now, what is your relationship like with your mother? Not the sigh and the eye roll.
I love my mom. My mother and I have had an interesting relationship since I was little. But I love my mother, you know, with everything. As everybody always say, my mother and I are almost like alike so much. Why my daughter and I are alike a lot. But my mother is just, she's just my mother. You know, she has her ways, just how she is. And so a lot of times that clashes with me. You know, my dad used to always say, you know, I could divorce your mother, but you can't. So you need to know how to deal with your mother, deal with her, have a relationship, no matter what kind of relationship it is, learn how to deal with it. Learn your mother enough to be able to, you know, deal with it, to learn her side and be able to function, to be able to have a relationship with her. So we're okay. You know, I talked to her. She's now a better grandmother than I would always say mom. But, you know, they always say you get a second. It's always like that. So I always commit her but she taught me so many things that I probably would never have if I didn't have the mother that I do. Because, you know, I would always say I didn't have a childhood. So my dad gave me the playful, childlike part of me. But the business side was my mother. She was CEO of her company when she got downsized, and she, you know, she was a single mother. So she paved the way for so many youth being leader of so many things. So for me, she taught me the finer things of life without realizing monetary, right? So that's kind of how it is for me, you know, me and my mom. She took me to certain aspects of business, taught me the business side of how to run a business, how to be a CEO and a COO. Like, I was bookkeeping at the age of nine. So, you know, so for me, I knew how to.
Last week, I said, yeah.
So, you know, I learned so many business sides. So now being a CEO of my own company, wonderful connection. Being a marketing, you know, being in marketing, because that was who she was. She was in public relations. I learned what I do from my mother. So that's the one thing. It is like my skill set came from my mom. You know, my business mind came from my mother. I give all that to her. Watching her run businesses, being MCs to a lot of things, being a writer. That was my mom. All that came from my mother. You know, I kind of, you know, took it a different step. My mother did communications, mass comm, but I did English. So it's almost in the same field. So everything that the steps my mom did, newspaper, I now have a franchise. I am editor in chief of City Girl Magazine, Atlanta. So, the same way.
You're dropping a lot of stuff. And
I did, you know.
You get into it, not just gloss over it. I did put Wonderful Connect on the bottom of the screen going across. We're gonna let this stuff hit like it's supposed to.
I just threw them out there, you know, just in case.
You did. And if I wasn't actually listening, I would have missed it. So, Wonderful Connect. One being O-N-E, Durful. how did you come up with that name? Why is it spelled like that?
Because that's my line name.
Wow, okay.
That is my line name in Beta Psi. So my line name is Wonderful. So I just did a play on words of wonderful. And so Connects, I feel like I'm the bridge. So that's where Connects came from. So I just kind of, and I'm connecting one world to the next because I'm a marketing manager. So that's kind of where Wonderful Connects came to play. I just kind of put different sides of my life into one name and made one branch. So that's kind of what that is for that. But as far as City Girl magazine, that actually just, I just came about that.
And that is S-I-T-I Girl.
Yes, Atlanta magazine. So I have the Atlanta branch, Atlanta franchise. So we have different franchises. We have also Virgin Islands. We have Delaware, Nashville, just to name a few. We have Indianapolis. There's so many of us out there, just to kind of branch off to name a few of us. But City Girl magazine, it uplifts, enriches, and encourages women in different aspects of their life, no matter what profession you have. And if you're doing something in the community, we want to feature you. We want to promote you.
Right.
and doing things for themselves, not only for the community, but you're doing it for yourself. And we want to showcase that. And so I have features in the magazine, as well as you can become a part of my cover. So that's really what it is. And if you have ads you want to promote, and you have like a flyer, you know, that's something that I would love to promote as well. Upcoming, we're going to start listing like the upcoming events in Atlanta. So if people have events that they want to for us to actually be a person pressed to be there so I can cover it. Please hit me up because I would love to cover your event and your storyline in our magazine. So that's the new upcoming things in the next couple of months. But next month, I'm doing actually a special cover because breast cancer is near and dear to my heart, as well as domestic violence. So I am actually going to promote in warrior women. I don't say survivors of domestic violence and I don't say survivors of breast cancer. I say they're warriors. They're thriving and surviving through any and all aspects of their life. So that's really what October issue is going to be about for City Girl. So if you know of a woman who has been affected by breast cancer or domestic violence, please hit me up at Atlanta@citygirl.com and send me an inquiry because I would love for to be able to promote this woman and put her on a showcase because she's thriving and, you know, thriving and surviving. You know, although I don't like surviving, you still did. You went through what you went through, but it didn't stop you. You have a story to tell, you know, you have her story to tell, and I want to be able to put it out there for you. So I'm really excited for the women that have been interested to be able to tell her story for them. And but breast cancer is near and dear to my heart. My best friend mother passed away from breast cancer, and as well as my grandmother was diagnosed at the age of 81. She didn't pass away from breast cancer, but I have it in my family. So that's also something that I always tell people to why that's been my platform all these years for pageantry has been breast cancer awareness with the concentration of health prevention. Because not only, you know, breast cancer is the main thing, but you also need to take care of yourself throughout the year. Because a lot of times, yeah, sometimes cancer is unavoidable. But sometimes if you eat right, if you do exercise, if you take do precautions and do health checkups, you could sometimes catch early. So that is what I also promote through pageantry, not only just through me. So that's where I want to make sure I give you the health tips and give you everything that you need to know and how who to contact, to all of that through also my platforms. So,
okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, maybe if you don't have anybody to feature in November, I can do that. I'm doing a women's transformational retreat in December.
Oh, nice.
I would love to get out there as on as many platforms as I can.
We definitely could talk. Yes, I would love to. I would love to tell your her story for you as well. Yes. So yeah. But yeah, so that's really what all I'm about. But you and I've talked so many times about, you know, really being that vessel for so many people, because you never know who may need your services. You may never know who you know that can use other people's services. So being that, having platforms, being able to get things across and connecting so many people to other things, it's really one of my joys of my mm-hmm. life. So that's yeah. kind of how I always say that's how I find joy. Being a bridge, right. being able, how people say I'm the plug. I don't really say I'm the plug. I just know how to search. I'm a search engine. So,
okay.
So you will to know certain things, certain aspects. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I kind of just try to have a lot of knowledge, because now I never will be without. That's kind of where I am. I would never be without. Once you get to certain parts of your life where you feel at the bottom, you would never be there once you know the resources to help yourself along with others. So, you know, as the song say, I encourage you while I encourage myself.
Beautiful. Well, I can't think of any better way to wrap it up. I want to ask you, my sister, what do you have anything else other than the magazine coming up soon?
No, that's all I have right now coming up.
And is it in physical print circulation or just online?
It's online. It's only okay. It's only online. They can look up City Girl Atlanta magazine, but it's only virtual. So
okay.
Virtual right okay. now. So we have a print issue coming out, but it is mine. It's only virtual right now.
Awesome. So where can people find you, follow you, support you?
On Instagram, you can find me at SBX Wonderful. That's ONEDERFUL. That's on Instagram. And they can find me on Facebook at Shauna Rickster on Facebook. And if you would like to send me inquiries, you can email me at Atlanta, ATLANTA at citygirl.com. If you have inquiries or if you just want to be featured, on my magazine, you can contact me there or contact me at wonderfulconnects@gmail.com.
All right. So that Instagram is SVX Wonderful.
That's it. SVX Wonderful. Okay.
For IG. I'm trying to put it in the comment. Oh, Lord. Killing me for the past.
So all
of you out there who might want to be an intern or an assistant for me, I need you back.
That's just going to need your help.
Thing, doing the sound, doing the comments, watching the comments. I got my phone. I'm trying to, where is my phone?
You're a one-woman show. It's a lot going on.
I want to give a shout out to some people who jumped on that I might not have shouted out. Victoria, MJ, Valerie, Ray, Sharon, hey. So yes, make sure. I thank you all for tuning in. We are going to get out of here. We went a little bit long this evening, but I am so glad that you came. I'm so grateful that you were able to get past your past and that you and your daughter have a beautiful relationship. You are out here inspiring and encouraging mothers by telling your story. Go get Broken Crayon.
You can DM me. Y'all have my Instagram and my Facebook, so just hit me up if y'all want a copy. Broken I'll sign it. Hit me up so you can so I can sign it for you. So if you want a physical copy.
That title all by itself. And oh, let me tell you this, Shauna. You probably don't know this. You were actually one of the few people in the world who were a witness. We had an experience with our group of girlfriends a few months ago, and you might have heard some words spoken to me. And I was like, like you said, you didn't feel like you had a story. I just finished my first book because of that night.
Yay!
You were there that night.
I love it.
I can't even remember who whispered in my ear and said something to me in my knees, but I remember what she said, but I don't remember who it was. I was just in a zone. We had such a powerful, man. We were praying, we were sharing, we were, it was a whole beautiful entire fellowship.
Yeah.
You were there. You were one of the few people in that room. So I just finished my book Saturday.
Yeah, congratulations. I'm so happy for you. I'm proud of you. Because I also told you, that night, do it. Don't stop. I told you that night, I said, whatever you, everything that you were, have been manifesting, it's going to come to pass, and I need you to just do it. Don't hesitate. Just get out there and do it. And I'm happy that you're doing it. I'm amazed. I'm honored to be a part of your journey to greatness through this podcast platform. So,
and be on the lookout for this retreat, December 2nd and 3rd. Man, it's going down.
Yes.
It's going down, and it's going to be something so powerful. I have some amazing ladies. Sorry, men, it's only for the ladies. But I even have today, I just added one more workshop, and it is, I have a tax and a financial expert. So we're teaching you how to set your trust up. That in and of itself is going to be worth the price of admission. But teaching you how to set up your trust, we have the whole full estate planning suite and your tax. I can't remember the phrase that they use, but it's not just like tax readiness, whatever. But what I'm wanting to do is make sure that my ladies that come to this conference leave, first of all, mind blown, because they're not going to expect all that they're going to get. I'm going to deliver tremendous value, but your life will not be the same. You will not be in my presence for 2 days and leave the way you walked in there. I promise you that. If you open your mind and receive the experience, I'm telling you, I have gotten such a download, and it's time to give it away. I'm telling you, I've never put myself out there like this. This is about to be, it's going to be game changing for me too. But make sure December 2nd and 3rd that you have your calendar open. Don't go blowing all your money on Black Friday. I said Good Friday, Black Friday. Buying stuff you and your family don't need. You don't need another daggone giant TV. You don't. Don't tell yourself you do, because you don't.
You may. That's right.
Hey, and last year you bought 4K. You don't need another TV. Stop it. Start investing. Start investing in your future. Start investing in your growth and your personal development so that you can start to see a return. The best thing you can invest in, not even the stock market, is you. That is the best investment, man. But I'm not going to get on the soapbox, man, because I'm just so excited. I just wanted to share that because I thought about it. Oh, my God, you were there.
Oh, I'm happy.
It's going down. It's going down. It's going down. And next time you are in the A, if you're ever in town on a Tuesday, check me out. I'm president of my Toastmasters Club. Come through. Tuesday night, 7:15, we have a good time. I'm giving a speech this week, so anybody want to come? I don't know what I'm talking about yet. I tend to do my speeches like on Monday. I write it, and then I memorize it, and then I go. I'm pretty good at giving the speeches. I got my flaws to work on, so I'm working on those. They give me the feedback. I'm like, dang, you said that the last two times. That means I ain't get no better.
The more you speak, you'll get better and better. So,
well, my pen game is wicked, but my issue is, I know what my issue, I'm not even going to tell you, because if you come see it, I want to know your raw reaction to see if I do this thing. It's this one thing that I do, but I still, my message is always on point. It's like, bam, bam.
It is every week, so I know that.
Yeah, I'm feeding them
because you stay popping. You know,
it's one thing that I do, and I got that same piece of feedback three times now. So I'm like, I thought I was over it. I'm not. So yes, I want y'all to come out if you're in Atlanta, Elizabeth Baptist Church, 4245 Cascade Road, 7:15 this Tuesday night. Your girl is giving a speech. It's going down. I don't know what I'm talking about yet. This is how gifted God made me, because I do it the last minute, and then I go in there and you think I wrote it a month ago. So I'm proud to stand on that. Let's get it.
I love it.
You know how we sign out? We say, stay popping.
Keep popping.
Good night.
Night.